I'm that Disney fanatic, kind of crazy about Disney stuff, and I thought this was a fun way to look at some issues that we face in life, whether it's getting along with others or judging others or just various things in life. But this morning, I kind of want to take another step because Toy Story, I enjoyed number one. I've got it on DVD. I got number two on DVD, and I enjoy watching those movies. And what I want to talk about, what I want us to think about this morning is kind of Toy Story 1 kind of set the stage. Because see, Toy Story 3 is Andy's off to college. Now, what do you do with your kid's toys when he's getting ready to go to college? You know, they put them in a black bag, and what are they going to do with them? Well, somehow they end up at the plot of the movie is they end up at a daycare center. And it kind of goes with along all those things and trying to get back together and stay together as a group. And the plot of the movie is, and the subtitle of the movie is, No One Left Behind. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. But that thought and that plot started in the first one. Look at this video clip from the first movie. And look at what it says here in this video clip. I don't want any toys left behind. What I want to think about this morning, I want you to think about this morning is, God doesn't want to leave anyone behind either. That it's God's desire that no one get left behind. And I want us to think about that for a few moments this morning and what that implies for those of us who are part of a church, for those of us who already know God and know who Jesus Christ is. See, God doesn't want to get anybody left behind, but there's a problem. I want to make sure you understand the problem. The problem is this. There is only one way to God. There are not many roads to heaven. There is only one way to God. See, and that's a problem that we need to think about as we think about no one getting left behind. You know, listen to what the scripture says here. Look at what the scripture says. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen God. See, one of the things that we need to think about when it comes to nobody left behind, because I want to tell you, I believe, and I want you to know, there is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. There is a real place called heaven. I'm not sure about golden streets and pearly gates. I see the imagery God is painting, but there is a place called heaven. And there is a place called hell. It is real. It exists. And the scripture describes it as a place of torment and all the evils of the world. And we can see that. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And God wants everyone to go to heaven. And that's my desire. I want everybody to miss hell and make heaven. I want everybody to discover the joy of what God has for them and what God wants to do with them, in them, and through them. But the challenge is, Jesus is the only way. And that becomes a stumbling block. People don't understand, well, can't there be many ways? And I'm going to kind of go more into depth on this. But we kind of think, well, you're intolerant because you think you have all the answers. No, I don't have all the answers. I only got one answer, and that's Jesus. But I was thinking about this intolerant and, you know, it's exclusive. I want to go see that Toy Story 3. I want to go see that. But let's say, you know what, I'm gonna go buy my ticket at the Signature Theater over here, but I'm gonna go, or the Regal Theater there on Stanford, but I'm gonna take that ticket and I'm gonna go over to Riverbank to the Galaxy and try to get in. What are they gonna do? They're not gonna let me in, are they? I got the wrong ticket. Well, they're being intolerant. They're being prejudiced. They're being exclusive. They won't take it. I just bought the ticket. It's the same price. Why can't they? Why won't they take the ticket? And yet we want to criticize God and criticize the church as intolerant. I got my library cards. I got two library cards. All right. You know why I got two library cards? One goes to Stanislaus County and one goes to Sacramento County. I was doing some research. Our library didn't have what the books I needed. I got on the internet, found out Sac Library had it. I drove up to Sacramento visiting my parents and Laura's parents, picked up a library card and picked up some books. You know what? They won't let me use this card in our county. I don't know why. It's a library card. I was at the library the other day, checked out some books. They got self-checkout now at the library. I didn't do that, but if I stuck this card under there, I don't think they're going to take it. I don't accuse the libraries intolerant. They're exclusive. They're prejudiced. Why is it that we'll point to the church and say, when we want to say that God is the only way to heaven, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, they want to criticize us as being intolerant, and yet the movie theater's intolerant. The library's intolerant. And so I want to think about that this morning. I want you to think about, because we have a challenge, because God doesn't want anybody left behind, and we got this hurdle in that we have the answer. And we need to share that with people. And that's what I want to talk about. We don't want anybody left behind. And so I have a need to share that good news. Look at this next scripture with me. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, we have a challenge to tell everyone. It is my heart's desire to tell everybody in Salida that God loves them, Jesus died for them, and he wants them to go to heaven with him. That's what God's called me to do, and that's my desire. I want everyone here this morning to know that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, you personally, and he wants you to enjoy life here and also live for eternity with him. That's his desire. I don't want anybody to get left behind. I don't want anybody to feel they missed it, that there is a place called heaven, there's a place called hell, and if it's my option, I want to make heaven and miss hell. I want to avoid hell. Just like there's some parts of town I don't want to go in. You know, there's some parts of Modesto I don't want to be in at night. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't want to be in hell either. I don't want to be there. But God is waiting. Look at this next scripture. When was the last? Oh, let me do this. When was the last time you invited someone to church? I got it out here on your outline. I want you to put a check mark. Yesterday? Was it yesterday? Was it 2 or 4 days ago? Was it, 5 to 13 days ago, 2 weeks ago, last month, or I just don't remember? When was the last time you invited someone to church? And we look around and I see lots of empty seats up here, and I'm sure you do too. I like to see the place full. I don't know about you. We're going to build our church, and you need to know, I expect to fill our church up. It seats 300 people. My desire is in the first month to run 300 people in that church and start another Sunday morning service. And we're already planning a Saturday night service. I want to do a techie service. I want to use Facebook and text messaging on a Saturday night service. I've already been talking with somebody to help me figure out how to do all that kind of stuff, set some tables up and just have an easier service, guitar playing service, and just share God's word. And instead of me putting videos like this, I just push a button and you get a text message that says, hey, here's the scripture, all right. I don't know, I'm just crazy. Because I want people to know about Jesus. I want people to experience Jesus. So I want to ask you, you look around and you wonder, well, where's everybody at? Well, when was the last time you invited anybody? That's what I want us to think about. I don't want anybody left behind, but I need to be inviting. I need to be asking. I asked several times this week and even yesterday. I could put yesterday down there. I was at a graduation party. Good food. And enjoyed myself. But when is the last time we've asked somebody? Look at Jesus. Look what God said here. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's God saying, I don't want to leave anybody behind. That's what God is sitting there saying. Get you a buddy, find a church, get a small group, find someone to tell you about Jesus. I don't want to leave anybody behind. And that's the challenge. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go over a few things. Why don't we do it? Why don't I invite others? Whatever you check there, why don't I do it? If you look at the top of your page, it's the next thing on the PowerPoint and everything. Why don't I invite others? What's the problem? Why won't I invite them? That is, invite others to church. It's not hard. It's not complicated. I think we do make it hard. I think we do miss opportunities. I'm sure maybe you've been there, maybe Thursday, Friday rolls around and somebody says, what are you going to do this weekend? And you go, oh, I don't know, probably nothing. And you're in church today. You know, nice little, I'm going to church. Why don't you join me? Or you're going to go Monday morning, you're going to go to work, or Monday morning you're going to be with your friends, and somebody's going to say, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I didn't do anything. You're here today. You were in church. Hey, I was in church, and you know that preacher, he's awesome. He's a good-looking guy, and he really knows the Bible, and you know, come on, why are you guys laughing? I'm in the wrong church. But I'm serious. We miss these opportunities to simply invite. Here's the thing I want you to understand. You know, most of your friends go to places with you when you invite them because they know you're not crazy. You know, if you were crazy, I'm going out for dinner, and you know, you drive crazy and you're a wacko, they say, I ain't going with you. Am I right? But if you're a normal, ordinary person and you say, hey, I'm going out for dinner, you want to join me? They're going to go, yeah. It's the same thing with church. As long as you're not carrying some big old black Bible around. Okay, you want to go to church? Let me throw this on you. Just everyday invitations. Every day as we go. Look at the scripture here. This is called the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's saying, go, and as you go, this is one of the things, you know, I want to make sure you understand, when I'm talking about inviting others, it's not a matter of, I got to go knock on some stranger's door. It's just in your everyday life with your friends, your family, your neighbors, inviting. Why don't we do that? Why don't I, when somebody says, what did you do this weekend? I say, I went to church. Or what are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to church. Why don't we say things like that? Well, I gave like, what is that? I got six reasons here. Reason number one. Spiritual, what is that word? Let me see if I can say that word. Liturgy. Don't you like those words? I got some big words this morning. Liturgy. That means, it's just no big deal. You become comfortable. It's like, you know, I've been doing this church thing now for 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you just become comfortable with it. You don't think about it anymore. It's no big deal. It's no big hassle. It's just what you do, and you just forget. And I think that happens to most of us. Somebody says, what are you going to do this weekend? It's not that we don't intend to tell them what we're doing. It's not like we don't expect to tell them what we're doing. We just don't think about it. We become lethargic. It's just like, it's just one of those things. It's not that we don't care. It's not that it's not important. It's just one of these passing things that we just kind of, it's okay. I've done this so long. I've been involved so long. I just don't even think about it anymore. That's one reason we don't invite others. It's just not on our head. It's just not on our mind. Number two here, what did we have? Growing inclusiveness. This kind of goes back to what I was kind of talking about in the beginning. The idea that our world is teaching. That there's this thing called universalism. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Did you know? Everybody. Don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. Doesn't matter if you go to church. Doesn't matter if you know God. Doesn't matter if you believe in God. None of that matters. Everybody's going to heaven. That's called universalism. All right. Everybody's going to go. The other common world out there that the world is telling us is called pluralism. Don't you like my big words this week? I do know some big words. Pluralism. That means all religions go to the same place. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all going to end up in the same place. That's what the world teaches. And I begin by telling you, and that's why I set up this message with that idea, there's only one way. You got to have the right ticket. You're not going to get in the right movie theater without the right ticket. You don't get the book out of the library without the right card. You don't get into heaven without the right Lord and Savior. But the world tells us, well, it's all the same. How about this growing disbelief in hell? Here's what some people believe. Many people believe you die, you're dead. It's over. There's nothing. You're in the ground, you turn to dust, ashes, and you're gone. That's all. I say, how sad that would be. Think about this. How sad it would be if all you had to do was live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. I lived 100 years through this world that was really hard. Beat me up every day. Had to struggle through life. Never had all this stuff. I lived 100 years and I'm dead. That's it? How sad. But people believe that. That you die, you're dead, you put them in the ground and it's over. Well, I want to tell you, there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. And hell's a place you want to avoid. But see, there's that growing thing that it's okay, don't worry about it. What's next? Busyness. I'm just too busy. I've got a lot to do, places to go, people to see, things to do. I'm just too busy. Too busy to stop and talk to my neighbor when they're out there mowing the yard, watering their grass, cleaning their flower bed. Too busy to call my family, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, and invite them. Too busy just to rush through that line and not visit with that person. See, all this stuff comes easy for me because it's my personality. But are we leaving people behind because we're too busy? What's next? Fear of rejection. This is probably the one I hear the most of. They're going to tell me no. We assume they're going to say no. The studies say one out of four of your friends will come to church if you invite them. That's what the studies say. And when you invite your friends, one out of four will come. But we're afraid and we're going to be rejected and they're going to think I'm weird. We shouldn't feel that way. What's next? Number six. Desire to be tolerant. I just want to fit in with everybody, and I don't want them to think I'm so goody-goody-two-shoe. You know, I'm a preacher. I'm not perfect. Some of you have been around me long enough to know that I have issues, all right? Some of you have probably seen some of my issues, especially if you ride with me in a car. You've seen some of my issues. Yeah. You know, that's not what I have. I'm not saying I'm perfect and you got to join me to be perfect. I'm just saying, listen, I'm on this journey through life and it's not always easy, but I have a God that wants to help me and he wants to help you too. See, but we're afraid to invite. And it's real simple. I mean, this is to me, as I looked at these and thought about these, it's, you know, these are, we just get so used to it, we don't even think about it. Everybody's okay. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Every religion leads to heaven. Heaven, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I really believe there's a hell and a heaven. I'm just too busy. I can't make it. They're not going to believe me anyway. They won't accept it. They're not going to listen to me anyway. And I just want everybody to like me. I'm going to be tolerant. Does that sound good? Yeah. And if we act like that, people are going to be left behind. I want you to think about this. Jesus was in heaven. All right, you need to understand this. Jesus was in heaven, and God sat there and says, listen, I need to get these people back in line with me. I want them to love me and know that I love them. So you know what? I'm going to send you back down there. He's in heaven and had to come down here, and he did, willingly. And died on a cross, willingly, beaten, and died, willingly. And he rose from the grave. And he ascended to heaven. And yet we can't even walk across the street and invite somebody. We can't even ask our neighbor, our friend, our relative, our family. See, and I want to challenge you. You know, next week I'm going to be preaching on the church. Because this is an exciting time. We're going to build our building. But it's not about the building. It's about the people. You know, there's enough talk. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting. Drive down Covert Road and you look over the top of the school, and I'm going to tell you, you see that monster building over there. Pull up to the corner right there at the end of Broadway and Finney Road and you see that monster building sitting there. But it's not about a building, folks. It's about what God wants to do in people's life. Just as God made it possible for us to do that, and we've shared this story, I'm going to be telling this story over and over again about how God built that building. You need to know it's not me, and it's not you, and it's not Dan. You know, it's what God has done. That's what we want people to see. But we got to invite. We got to encourage them. But it's hard, you know. That's the pastor's job. That's what the preacher's supposed to do. That's all of us need to be inviting and need to be asking. So if you look at your outline, I put it this way in your next point. I just need to invite them to join me. That's it. I just need to invite them to join me. And again, if you're not a wacko, crazy kind of person and they don't see you that way, most of them aren't going to treat you like a wacko. They're not going to say, well, there she is again, or there he goes again. Most of them aren't going to say that because you don't act like that all the time. You're not that kind of a person. See, one of the struggles that we have as Christians and as a pastor and as church is we always talk about the exceptional, extraordinary person who does the crazy things when it comes to witnessing. You know, the guy that goes and knocks on every door in their neighborhood. You know, he's the one we'll bring on stage and say, here, look at this. When it is really the everyday, ordinary things you do that opens people's lives up and hearts up. It's not the extraordinary, it is the ordinary that you do. And here's one of the challenges that I think we have. I've never forgot this. Years ago, we had our old blue church. We were in, 30, 40 people over there on the property. And we were praying, and we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Some of you might remember our Wednesday night prayer meeting. We had a nice little prayer list. On the prayer list, I had lost. That meant people who didn't go to church. And we called them the lost. And one of the ladies in town would clean our church up. And I had been inviting her to church and sharing with her about church and encouraging her to go to church. And she took care of cleaning the church up. And she's seen her name one time. She's cleaning the garbage cans. And she says, well, so one day she comes, what does this mean? She had no idea what lost meant. And it's like, I had to think about that. Well, that's really not a good term, is it? Because was she lost? She knew where she was. She was in Salida. She wasn't lost. She lived in Salida over on Cottage. She knew where she lived. And when they're lost, that means they're out there. It's easy to judge the lost. They don't live like us. It's easy to judge the lost. They don't talk like us. It's easy to look down on the lost because they don't behave like us. And I think that's a term we need to think about. I like this other term I found. For time in our church, I've talked about explorers, that I want people to explore the faith. I don't want to call them. I want people to come and explore about God. Let me learn about this God. Is he real? Is he true? Is what I've heard true? And I want people to explore God. And I like this other phrase I found this other week again. Instead of calling them the lost, the people God misses most. The people God misses most. He missed them so much, he sent his one and only son to die on a cross. The people God misses most. Jesus tells a parable about this. Matter of fact, he tells three parables about this. One of them is a very popular parable, but maybe you heard about the other two, but I'm sure you probably heard about the one. Anybody ever heard the parable of the prodigal son? The guy that asks for everything, the kid that says, Dad, you're not dead yet, but give me what you owe me, what I'm going to get when you die. That's called the prodigal son. And, Dad, you're not dead, but give me what I'm going to get when you die now. I don't want to wait till you're dead. Give it to me now. That's called the prodigal son. He gets it and kind of runs off and I'll kind of go into the story in a minute, but that's what he kind of does. But there's two others that precede that. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me. And there's three events that God has. One is a coin, one is a sheep, and one is the prodigal son. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? You lost a sheep. Let's go find it. And he goes on and finishes up this parable about he goes out and finds it and brings it back and everybody celebrates that he found the lost sheep. Then Jesus tells this parable. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? The background of this parable, that was her bridal halo thing. I don't know what you would call it, tiara. I don't know, whatever you'd call that thing you'd put on your head. And it was made out of these coins. And when she lost it, it was very important. And so she went and had to search for it and had to find it. And then the last parable that we have here, there was a man who had two sons. The younger man said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property and sit between them. He had two sons, gave the one and said, "Go on." He went out, wasted everything, ended up drunk in a mud pile with a bunch of pigs, and then ended up getting back with his dad saying, "Hey, I'd be better off at home." But I want you to see that Jesus is sitting there saying, somebody lost a coin. I'm going to ask you something. Did the coin have anything to do with getting lost? Did the coin get up and walk off? Did the coin know it was lost? It was just not there. How about the sheep? Now, the sheep was probably just grazing, eating grass, and just kind of wandering off. And it just kind of wandered off. Maybe not even know it's lost yet, but someday it would look up and realize it was. Or the prodigal son who just took off. So I don't know, you know, there's all kinds of people out there. Some are out there, they don't even know where they're at. They're lost in life. They're confused with life. They don't understand why all this stuff is happening to them. They don't understand why life isn't fair, why life always goes wrong with them. How come it always happens to me? It's kind of like that coin. They're just out there. Some have wandered off. They're just going through life. They're just kind of wandering around, trying to figure things out, trying to work things out. And they're just wandering around, just kind of, I just don't know. And there's some out there that just don't care. They've just taken off. I'm going to do things my way. Come hell or high water, this is where I'm going. Just leave me alone. There's all kinds of people out there. And so I don't think the word lost, and that kind of frees us. Well, they're lost. They're out there, and I'm in here. I like that. People God misses most. Those that God cares about. Those that God wants to touch and reach out to. And I want to make this, I want to encourage you to invite. And we're going to build our building, and I know you're going to really get excited about inviting people to the building. But I want you to invite people to church now. You know, I want to see this place full. I want to see us inviting our neighbors, our friends, our family to be a part, to enjoy this. And again, not because I want to see a church full. I believe with all my heart that when you walk with God, life is better. I believe that with all my heart, and I want everybody to know that. I want everybody to know life is tough and life hurts. And even when I'm a Christian, even when you're a Christian, it's still tough and it hurts sometimes. But you know what? I'm not walking alone. I'm not by myself. God is always there with me. You know, whether you have him or not, I mean, to me, it's really easy. I don't have God, I'm going to have a hard life and things are tough and I'm on my own. Good luck. Wish you well. Or I've got a hard life and there's good things, there's bad things, and life goes on. But you know what? God's with me and I can do anything and I can overcome anything and he's never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me. Guess which life I want to choose? And that's what I want for people. It's not like, well, I got all the answers. I don't have all. I know the one answer. It's Jesus. And that's what I want to invite people to. You know, it's not like I'm trying to ram things down people's throat or beat them in the head with a Bible. I just want people to know, you know what? When you walk with God, life is better. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It's just better. I'm not there on my own. I'm not just dangling over there. There's something better. But how do we invite? I got three things I want you to do to invite. You know, I'm not going to tell you go knock on some stranger's door. You know, go to the scariest, biggest, freakiest dude you got and ask him to church. That's not what I want to say, all right? That's not what I want to talk about, all right? But I'm going to tell you some unusual ways, some ordinary ways, all right? First thing you can do is you look at your outline. I'm going to invite with my prayers, all right? Here's a little secret. You know, you can pray for people and they don't even have to know it. You can pray behind their back, all right? Yeah. You can pray for them. Pray that that they'll be receptive to your invitation. Pray that they will see the need for God. Pray that they will experience God in some way. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to nurture them. Ask God to show them that they can see God in you. Pray for them. Pray that God will give you the right words. But pray. You know, prayer is a way to invite. I don't think we realize that. I think when I say invite somebody to church, most of you are going, I got to go knock on the door and ask somebody. I'm talking, just start praying. Maybe it's a family, maybe it's a friend. If you look at the bottom, I got a little point. My family, friend, or neighbor. Maybe you want to write somebody's name. Just pray for somebody. Pray that God will reveal to them. Pray that God will touch them. Pray that God will give you the words. Pray that God will give you the opportunity. Just pray for them. You know, sneak up on them with prayer. All right? You know, we can all pray. Nobody has to know you're even doing it. But pray for them. The second thing you can do, and this is another different way, is I can invite with my ears. This, I think, is one of the greatest ways. I have an extrovert personality. I think most of you know that. When I take these personality tests and I do all those kind of survey things, I like doing those. I am off the chart extrovert. I have no problem getting in front of people. I have no problem going up to a stranger and saying hi. I don't care who you are. That's just me. That's my personality. And in the midst of that, I enjoy hearing people's stories. I enjoy hearing what's going on. I'm at the property this week, visiting with the guys that are putting the sprinkler system in, talking with the guy. Come to find out, the guy goes to Calvary Baptist Church over on La Loma, on Miller, off of La Loma over there. Talking with him, he knows all the same people I know. I just walked up and started talking to the guy. I didn't meet him before. I had no idea who he was. He's just there working on the building. Hey, how you doing? Okay, hey, you know, and we end up talking about church, and yeah, I'm the pastor. Oh, yeah, and I go to Calvary and find out all the people he knows and I know. And you can invite with your ears just by listening. Listen to somebody's story. Listen to their heart. Listen to their concerns. Show that you're concerned. You know, I really care about people. I really do. I care what happens in their life. I care what's the heartaches. I care. I want to know, because that kind of goes back to that first one, so I can pray for them. I want to know because I want to be able to share with them how God can help. I go to the graduation this week, and as I was visiting with some of our kids that were graduating and the family, a couple of rows back was, I just had to do a funeral just a week or 2 weeks ago, and the guy and his wife was sitting back there. So I went right back to him and talked with him for a few minutes, asked how the family was doing. I really enjoyed that cemetery. I was out on the cemetery on Dakota, the German Baptist Cemetery, I think it is. You know, the grass is kind of dead and all that. I don't know. I think I'm getting kind of weird. I like walking around reading headstones. Yeah. And so I was walking around before the service reading, recognizing a lot of names of Salida people. And so I went over and was talking to him. And I asked the guy, how do you get into that cemetery? I wouldn't mind being buried there. You know where I want to be buried. Just scatter me on the churchyard. Cremate me. Throw me in the churchyard. You guys always know where I'm at. I'm there to haunt you every time you go to church. Yeah. But I love listening to people. I love talking with people. I love being with people. You can invite with your ears. It's not your words, it's your ears. When people know you care and you're really concerned, they will respond to you. You know, and it's not like, well, you hit them with a big black Bible or out of the clear blue sky and you're not some crazy whacked out person. Listen with your ears. You invite with your ears. I'm trying to make this simple. How about this last one? This one I think you're going to find really interesting. I invite with my fingers. This way. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I've told you the last few weeks and a couple of months, Facebook can be real dangerous. Anybody agree with me? Facebook can cause all sorts of issues. But you know, I think Facebook can be good too. Now, many of you are on Facebook all the time. You text message people all the time. You blog. Some of you may even blog. I don't do that. Some of you, anybody here tweet? Anybody know what tweet is? See, some of you guys know what it is, but I'm still not into that either. But you know what? When you're on Facebook and all of that, you could kind of type, hey, I was in church this morning and Gary was on fire. Yeah. You know? But you know what I'm saying? You can invite with Facebook. Yeah. I took a few pictures. Jeremiah wants to see our building. And I just forget. I never think about Facebook. I got to get better on Facebook. And so I took some pictures and Facebooked the pictures of our building. So my son, he wanted to see what the building looked like back in Georgia. And so I Facebooked some of the pictures. I got to do it more often. But you know what I'm saying? I think there's ways emails and text messages and Facebook and blogs. I think there's ways to invite people that we've never thought of before. And so I want to encourage you, go home today. Some of you who are really into that stuff, I haven't got into it yet, I need to. Go home and Facebook about the church this morning. Please be good, all right? Many of you, I'm your friend, so I'll know what you're saying. Be careful. Don't forget I get to preach next week too. And I know names. But Facebook, text message a friend. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Hey, I went to church. Hey, look what happened. Hey, text message, email. I send an email out. I've been trying to send an email out almost every Friday before I begin the new sermon series. I send it out with a nice little picture, a nice little logo, some words about that kind of message. And I say, forward this to some other people. And I try to send you an email that you could just forward out to your friends and invite them to church. See, we look at inviting people, and again, my point is, I don't want to leave anybody behind. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had this feeling. You know, I believe that someday Jesus is coming back, all right? I believe someday you will hear a horn, a trumpet, and Jesus will come back, and he will take his people to be with him in heaven. Those that are left behind end up going to hell. I mean, that's what the scripture says. I'm not being intolerant. That's why I want everybody to know. I believe that's going to happen someday. But what's happened in my life is, you know, I've been outside sometimes, and it's just kind of eerie. Anybody? You just walk out, and it's just kind of eerie. You know, the sky may be dark. Things are just eerie, and it's like, is it today? I've thought that, guys. I don't know if it's just me or not, but I've thought that. You know, and it's like, did I get left behind? Yeah. It's like, what happened, you know? I don't want anybody left behind. I would love to see Salida and everybody, every home in Salida know Jesus Christ. I want my share to come to church here, but I wouldn't care where they went to church as long as they found a church that preached God's word, that would encourage them and help them and walk with them and get in a small group studying God's word during the week and being God's word and seeing God meet their needs and find a family and people who can encourage them and inspire them and help them walk through life. That's what I want. And that's what I want people to experience. That's what I want to invite people to. It's not, hey, come and hear Gary preach for 40 minutes. Only 40. That's not what I want. I want people to come and see Jesus. That's what I want. And that's what I want to invite people to. And I want them to experience and to know. And so that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. I just want to challenge you with just do it. If you look at the bottom of your page, I put it real simple. Just do it. That's it. Just to it. Oh. Computer. What was bad yesterday, I was at a graduation party visiting with some of the family of the young lady that graduated, and her aunt is a English teacher at a junior college. It's like, give me a break. Why sit me next to an English teacher at a junior college? And I was like, give me a... That's supposed to be a D, okay? Just do it, all right? Just invite. Don't beat them in the head. Don't get your big old black Bible. Don't try to confuse things. Just listen to their stories. Just listen and show you care. Pray behind their back. Sneak up on them with prayers. You know? Use your fingers. Text them, email them, blog, Facebook. Just invite people to know God. I'm going to go see this movie, Toy Story 3. I have not seen a 3D movie. You need to know, I have never seen a 3D movie yet. I never went to the movie theater to see a 3D movie. The only 3D I've seen is at Disneyland, okay? And they got Captain EO running again. Some of you remember that one, all right? Yeah. That's the only 3D I've seen. I've never went to a 3D movie yet. So I want to go see this new movie, and I want to go see it in 3D. I just have a hard time spending $15 for a ticket. You know, that's just me. I don't know. It's $16, but I want to go to the one in, it's called El Capitan. It's a Disney theater down in L.A. when I'm going to be down there next week. I got a week to go. But I want to go see it. And that last line of that thing, No toy left behind. That just encouraged me with this message right here. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I want to see heaven full. I want my friends. I want my family. I want my neighbors to be with me. Visiting one of my neighbors yesterday. Some struggles going on and some contact friends in their life. And we were visiting and just some heartache time right now. I want to see her in heaven too with me. That's my desire. I don't want anybody left behind. So just do it. If you look at the bottom of there, I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. Think small. You don't have to get big ideas. It's not these big ideas. Just think small. What neighbor? What friend? Don't get a whole list of 15 people. Just think small. What's next? Do what's doable. Just do what you can. Yeah. If you can Facebook about church this morning. Go home and email your friends about church this morning. Let them know that it's an exciting place in your life and that you enjoy going there. And that it's a part of who you are and what you do. Just do what's doable. You know, you don't have to be the extraordinary person. I like this one. Count conversations, not conversions. Too many times we want to count how many people that I drug to church, how many people I shared Jesus with. Just count the conversations. Yeah. How many people did you talk to this week that you just happened to mention church, that you happened to mention God, that you happened to mention, why don't you join me? Yeah. Count the conversations. We're always worried, well, how many didn't come? Don't worry about who don't come. Worry about who does come and just keep asking. Count the conversation. What was next? Just be yourself. You don't have to be, like I say, I'm an extrovert. I have no problem doing any of this. But many of you are on Facebook and you're on all these kinds of things. I wanted to make it easy for you. Do you want to see people left behind or not? Do you want to see people make heaven and miss hell? Do you want to see those that Jesus misses most come to Jesus? Are you inviting? You have a great story. We have a great opportunity. We know God. A God that loves and cares and wants what's best. It's not God sitting there saying, come to church so you can miss all the good things in life. I don't feel I have missed anything in life that's good. I am having a great life. I am enjoying life. I do have issues. I do have troubles. But you know what? I'm walking through life with God. And that's what I want people to know. It's just that God can make a difference. So I want to ask you, who are you going to invite? Who will you invite to join you to experience an experience that God has touched you with and God is blessing you with? So I want to ask you that. Who will you invite? With your ears, with your prayers, with your fingers, who will you invite? Just do it. Let's pray.